Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time.
A very special Killing Time.
Oh my God, he didn't even let me intro
it. I was so excited.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls and one Afton. I guess just three girls.
Three gals.
So this is a very special episode. We have our bestie here, Afton Williams.
Celebrity makeup artist.
Makeup
artist to celebrities. Let's calm down.
Celebrity artist to the stars.
Jack Manick makeup artist. Alexis Linkletter makeup artist.
True. Taught me how to do my own makeup.
You have.
I know.
And I've taught both of you how to do your makeup.
Honestly, it's the reason why I am presentable.
Have you seen my newest TikTok
did you get my response to your thing being like, what did you do with your makeup here? It's so good.
No. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell everybody that's listening. If you've heard of this, okay. So this is going to be a completely like makeup themed episode because Afton is a makeup artist. And of course the gods were looking down on us and we were able to come up with a great theme for this episode.
But this is for all genders. It's not just for the gals.
No. We're gonna help some guys out and, you know, whoever. But I tried to do the siren eye. Have you seen this? It's basically a cat eye.
Okay. It's like pulling the sides of your eyes up and then bringing the inner corners down.
Yeah.
So
I was like, I'm gonna do a siren eye tutorial because you watch stuff on TikTok and you're like, this is so easy. I could do this.
And then
I watched Jack try to do it. And from my perspective, it looked hard.
You
made it look hard.
I don't know what I was doing. It was a disaster. It was a clusterfuck, and I failed miserably.
I think you're being hard on yourself.
No, it wasn't great. But in the end, you did look so good.
The end result was okay. It was just the journey was hard.
Okay. And but it's, you know, it's about the journey.
It is about the journey.
That's right.
And it was hard, and I don't want to do it again, but I might do it tonight.
Okay.
But anyways, so we're going to have a makeup themed episode. And do we just want to jump into the dark day?
I think we should.
And it was funny because we were talking about this before and we're like, oh, makeup theme, it'll be so great. Like, you know, we can talk about different serial killers that have used makeup. And we had mentioned BTK as
one of the bangers.
Which is very exciting for me because you know how I feel about BTK.
We all have
he
feelings.
He scares you too.
We'll get
into it. He scares you also.
He's fucking terrifying and a loser. Okay, so it is
the
August.
The Grote Phantom.
I have a list of all the nicknames we can talk about. Okay, so today is August 18th, and in 2005, Dennis Rader, a.k.a. BTK, is sentenced to 175 years in prison for his serial killing. So I'm assuming if you're listening to this podcast, you know who BTK is. I don't think I have to really go through the whole thing about him, but what I do love...
Wait, this is the dark day?
This is the dark day.
This happened today?
Yes.
On the day
what
this
are the
airs.
Fucking chances?
That's why I said it was like...
Oh my God.
The guy, you know, we're so lucky on Killing Time. This happens to us all the time. Like, the stars align when we're trying to will something into existence. But everybody knows about BTK. My favorite thing about him was the floppy disk and what led to his downfall. And it was just
such a cuckoo narcissist.
His overall narcissism and cockiness led to his downfall. But what we're talking about today is he had a penchant for staging his bondage-inspired photographs because, you know, he took a lot of photographs of himself or his victims and made all these fucking weird drawings and stuff. But in a lot of them, he would wear a quote-unquote lady mask, and he would wear his victims' killings. Mm. Now, I am looking at a picture of him wearing the lady mask. Do you see?
Do you see?
It's like he's wearing a mask of, like, Raggedy Ann.
It does look like Raggedy Ann.
It's really scary.
It's really terrifying. It's like stuff of nightmares.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
It's something.
It's not good.
But that is kind of how we, you know, brought the whole makeup theme, the beauty theme into the episode. This is the epitome of the opposite of beauty.
Wearing a lady mask.
But he was, it seems, it like he painted the mask and the little clown blush.
It looks like a little China doll mask, too. It's like got a very odd vibe.
Right.
It's very terrifying.
Yeah.
So in a very full circle moment, and the reason why I said you know how I feel about BTK is years ago, Jack and I became obsessed with the little nicknames that this guy gave himself.
Because last podcast on the left did an amazing episode.
Oh my God, my favorite.
Where they like reenacted.
Oh yeah. We couldn't stop laughing.
I was listening to, that's what, I don't listen to them anymore. I don't know why. I think it's because it's not on iTunes anymore.
Yeah. It's back on iTunes.
Oh, is it? Yeah. But I stopped listening to it. But I remember me and you texting about that too. It was fucking
It's so funny.
They're so funny.
Roundabout of it all is we were texting back and forth about BTK. And so I had like pictures of him saved in my phone. And then at this moment, this Snapchat filter came out that was really popular that would swap your face with other faces. And I wanted to swap my face with something that I was doing. And
so I pulled it up
and it automatically swapped with the first picture in my phone, which was BTK.
And honestly,
I remember you posting this.
Yes. It looks real.
Like him.
It transferred so seamlessly.
Honestly,
and
we have to post this on Instagram.
Of it all is that he dressed in a lady mask, but did he look as good as me dressed in a man mask?
No. You look like a handsome version.
And you guys know I love this flat, like, 70s porn sunglass.
Yeah, I know. You do wear a sunglass like that. We're going to post this on our Instagram so you can, and we can post it on the Facebook group so you can, like, really see what we're talking about.
Oh, my God.
It's the best
but
I've ever looked.
That is the contact photo in my phone for Afton.
It's great. One of our other friends, Anna Rose, had it as her contact photo. And when I got into the union, she was sending my contact to all of these union contacts.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Hire this makeup artist, without realizing that she was sending me as BTK.
Well, at least you're not George Costanza. That's my exact.
I don't know which one's worse.
George Costanza.
Is he?
No. Because it's not like, is it George or is it Alexis? It's George.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yours is like, that kind of looks like you, but doesn't at all.
Exactly.
But it was your hair at the time. You look very different now.
Thank you.
Do we want to go through his nicknames? I have them all written down.
We have to.
Let's just, yeah, let's.
Okay, we're going to go
the best part about him.
So as we all know, BTK named himself because he really wanted like a nickname.
He suggested. He's like, hey, maybe you guys could name me this.
Yeah. But like nobody nicknamed. It's not like it was named by the public. He was like, this is what you're going to call me because I'm a fucking loser.
As we know from Seinfeld with George Costanza, this never ends well. Like he went in, he wanted to be called T-Bone. And like 20 seconds later, they're like, you know who you remind me of? Coco the monkey.
And then someone else was T-Bone and the left T-Bone.
Exactly.
T-Bone, someone actually, their name started with T. They're like, no, he should be T-Bone.
You can never give yourself a nickname because you're going to always end up with something shitty.
And if you fight against the one you're given, people will use it more. You got to embrace whatever nickname you're given. Otherwise, it'll get old if you embrace it.
So yeah.
Because people will be like, oh, they like it. This isn't funny.
No,
anymore.
The point of a nickname is to like make fun
to
of
taunt,
somebody.
To
this
taunt.
Is literally why more people call Jerry than Jared, because he fought against it so much in the beginning. Because it was when we first started dating and he was like trying to be cool.
He's like, my mom doesn't like it. My name's Jared.
Jared is like such a dorky name, but it like totally like it enveloped like his whole softy side. We're going to go through the nicknames. Number one. BTK Strangler. That's what he ended
Boring.
Up coming up with. Wichita Strangler.
Boring.
Poetic Strangler.
Also, okay, like, he thought he was poetic. But he was so bad.
The Poetic Strangler is where we start to get into like Nerdler.
Well, also Alexis would be better named the Poetic Strangler.
I am poetic.
Yeah. The notes that he was writing the police were riddled with spelling and grammatical errors. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy could not write well.
He's no Shakespeare, I'll tell you that.
He's no Shakespeare and, like, didn't fucking make any sense. Okay, so we have the
poetic... Well, it's before spell check. I think we all would have been bad.
No, because before spell check, you had to spell decently.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how to spell anything because my phone just autocorrects.
Right.
Anyways, Bondage Strangler. So we have, like, four stranglers.
Uh-huh.
Then... Psycho.
That's my favorite. Straight to the point, cutting it down to just the bare bones basics.
But then you're like,
no, you guys remember that fucking killer back in the day, the Psycho?
Yeah, but then you're thinking about Psycho the movie.
But was the movie out yet?
No, yeah.
Yeah, because the movie was black and white, right?
Yeah.
And that picture of me is BTK in color.
He's still alive. And he wasn't arrested until like 2005. Okay, next is the Wichita Executioner.
Boring.
The Wichita Hangman. Now we go to my two favorites.
Yes,
I know these. Yes, I know
the
these
Garot too. Phantom.
She loves the Garot Phantom.
I'm like at a loss for words when I picture him writing these down in a list. Yeah.
I also don't want anyone to call themselves the Phantom because, in my opinion, Phantom of the Opera is untouchable.
One of my favorite plays.
It is the best.
Just like Grease is your favorite movie.
Grease is my favorite movie. But Phantom of the Opera is what maybe my favorite play.
It's so
because
good.
He was emo.
He was emo, and you really just like empathize so much with the Phantom.
I know. He was a sad emo boy. My that
favorite
just
play was
loved.
Lion King on Broadway.
Okay.
I just Can't Wait to Be King is one of the best songs of all
time. I know. Also, like a crazy fucking storyline if you think about it. Like for Timon and Pumbaa, like they're like, hey, we know your uncle just like pushed your dad off a cliff. But you should fucking suck it up and don't worry about it.
They didn't know. They didn't know it was his uncle yet.
They weren't aware of mental health yet.
They didn't know about. They didn't know that the Jafar. What is his name?
Jafar.
That wasn't the Aladdin one. Jafar is the Aladdin.
Was Aladdin.
Wait.
Oh, you're talking about the bad. Oh,
the
shit,
bad lion.
What's his name?
It's Jafar.
No, it's not.
Jafar is the evil Garot one in Aladdin. Psycho.
It's Matumba. No.
Mufasa.
Oh my god. I'm so sorry to everybody that's just yelling at their fucking phone. We're so stupid. Mufasa. Oh my god, Mufasa.
And
yes.
Whoopi Goldberg played one of the hyenas.
That's a weird kind of.
She was great.
She's great.
Small she job for so Whoopi. Good. I love Whoopi. As someone who watches The View every day, I am a Whoopi fan. She has no patience for anyone. Someone will be talking to me like, it's time to go to break. And she's just like, she just waves her hand and doesn't care.
Because she doesn't have to.
Because she's sort of like, she's like the person who guides the conversation.
Yeah.
Honestly, and she'll just cut people off. One of the best movies of all time, Sister Act.
One and two.
Two was even better than one.
I love that woman.
Okay, we got to come back.
I'm so sorry. Continue.
Last name. The Asphyxiator.
Oh. Also, kind of like that one.
That is kind of weird. I guess the Zodiac.
He's just Zodiac killer. I think they're all stupid, and I think he is
I think giving him a nickname, and it's also like kind of annoying that we even settled with BTK because it gives him way too much notoriety. Like, I wish it was just like that loser guy.
Yeah, that fucking
dork. Like, BTK sounds an awful like BLT, and we love a sandwich, and he's not as good as that.
No, nowhere near that. Okay, well, I think that we got enough out of this section.
I think so.
We're going to come back for True Crime Rewind to go through other killers that have a beauty or makeup theme. I kind of went a little rogue. It's not what you're going to think it is.
You know what? It doesn't need to be.
It's this a loose
is,
theme.
This is your brainchild, Jack, and you can go with it where you want.
I'm really excited about that. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We talk about if we love it or hate it, have a healthy discussion, vote if it's guilty or not guilty, bring it to Instagram, you get a vote. And you know what? Today is a beauty / makeup themed episode, so I think that's what we're going to stick to, right? Do we have our On the Stands?
Oh my god, I feel so passionately about mine.
I think we should go into it.
I'll go first, sure. By the time this airs, this, even the mention of this is going to enrage you so much.
I can't wait.
Unless it doesn't.
Tell me more.
That's why it's On the Stand in general. So I have a small On the Stand with a broader implication. So my On the Stand is the nail polish brand that did a collaboration with the Little Miss meme.
Okay.
If you know me or you follow me, you know how passionately I hate the Little Miss meme.
You know what she's talking about, right?
I haven't posted.
Little Miss drinks Aperol Spritz.
I honestly feel so proud that I haven't posted a one.
I've had people make memes for me about my hatred for Little Miss memes, and I won't even post those.
Little Miss hatred of Little Miss.
Little memes. Miss, throw yourself off a cliff because of the Little Miss meme. Won't post that.
I did post one.
It was a stomach one.
Little Miss Miralax, which I do like. Yeah.
Because yours is really self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Not really. It's just funny.
Little Miss.
Sexy
loves the brunch,
but here's the thing: is like Miralax is funny.
I am Lil Miss hate myself for even talking about this in public because that's how much it bothers me.
Yeah,
but the broader, so I guess like a more succinct version of what I want to put on the stand is brands eagerly hopping on to meme trends to sell, to shill some shit. Mm. They do it so fast and they do it so oversaturated that we don't even get a day to enjoy a meme.
Yeah.
We don't get, like, do you guys remember when, like, Here's the Earth Round came out, or like when the guy was like Seashell Sea Hell or Not My Chair, Not My Problem. Do you know how long we talked about that Dan Deacon video for? To this day, I still say, Mr. Walk Down Me in My Walkway, fuck you. I say that multiple times and everybody laughs. You know why? Because no brands
didn't get
took
fucked
it.
Up.
And killed it for us.
You know what I'm realizing right now? Like, I'm so out of the zeitgeist. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Really? But Matt, Dan Deacon drinking out of cups.
No,
drinking out
of Matt cups, being a always bitch. Says that to me because, like, he's on TikTok and Reddit. And
that's
like,
not on TikTok or Reddit.
Where is
this? This was from 2008. Not maybe
I have
even
no recollection of this. But the point is that I'm not dialed into like meme culture that much.
You're so lucky.
I mean, am I?
Yes, because you aren't getting. It's like. Okay, I think the beginning of it, like the beginning of the end for us was like, what's up? Remember that?
I love that one from Scream.
Yeah.
Or Scary Movie.
Or whatever it was from.
Scary Movie.
It was funny. And that one had like kind of a short-lived time span of when it was funny. And then as soon as it drops off the cliff, like you hate it so much, it makes your blood boil.
Sure.
So what brands are doing now is by hopping on this meme trend, they're shortening the time span into a millisecond. So you get like, mm-hmm. you see the first meme and you're like, haha, that's funny. And then by the end of the day, you're like, I hate this.
Like, yeah. Why is it on in Rite Aid on a nail polish bottle?
Exactly.
It's over.
Everyone wants to jump on it and monetize it. And they're taking the fun away from us.
Sure. Yeah. And I just feel like by the time something actually goes out on sale, like I don't know when those was a nail polish brand that did a collaboration.
They probably did a drop.
It was
do these drops where things are like.
But I'm like, this doesn't need to be a nail polish. This just doesn't seem like the right type of a product.
Yeah.
In a nail polish.
It was, it's good for like probably the first brand that jumps on it. You're like, ahaha. Like,
yeah.
Good for them getting on it quick. But then it's like 8 days later and someone just starts to make it and you're like, now you just look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just ruins the whole thing. And it's not funny.
No.
No.
Once something gets oversaturated, you're just like,
Right.
Get me away from here.
You're exactly. taking the joy out of the little things for us little people who have, we're just trying
we
to
do enjoy
just a little bit of joy.
We have none left.
We've got none left.
There's none left.
It's like capitalism.
Little miss depressed.
Little miss. What do I have to live for?
Little miss, literally nothing.
Yeah.
Guilty.
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 Easy.
Okay. I'm going to go next.
Okay.
I'm putting on the stand. Now I thought about a couple different things, but I think I'm going to put on the stand bright eyeshadows for a 30-something-year-old.
Mm.
Now, I've been inspired by Euphoria. I just watched it.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
I loved it, too.
Obsessed. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I haven't seen the second season because I don't have the emotional capacity to invest in something like that right now.
And the second season's a lot fucking darker.
Yeah.
But we don't need to talk about it, but what they all wear, like the cool eyeshadows.
I've seen every
they're all
one.
Teenagers.
I follow all the makeup artists.
Yeah, they're amazing. And I know it's inspired a lot of young people to start wearing like bright eyeshadow. And as somebody that doesn't wear makeup, I'm like, I really like this idea. And it's kind of weird, I think, for like a mid 30s person. I feel like we're supposed to be like refined ladies.
Are we?
But I love it. And for me, I don't want a full face of makeup. I don't know how to do it, even though Afton taught me how. I feel like it's now gone out of the other ear of my head because I just tried recently.
The other ear of my head.
But I like the idea of a little pop of color.
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel bad about it because I think it is a Gen Z thing to do. But like, I like it. Like, I like a bright blue eyeshadow or I like a little pink inner corner or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very punk rock.
And here's the thing, like, as a professional, I say, do whatever the fuck makes you happy. I've always thought that. I mean, there are some things that look bad no matter what. But like bright eyeshadow for like a 30s, a 40s, a 50s, like in a tasteful way, I think is so cute and so fun. And it's a really good way to like, you could wear basics. Like you could wear all black and then do like a little pop of pink in the corner of your eye. And that's such a cute way to like make it more fun and kind of bring some youth into your life. And it's like you guys always say, like, I don't want a yucky or yum. Like, if that is the thing that you look forward to, you're like, it's 5 p.m. I'm gonna throw some makeup on. I'm gonna put a little pop of yellow on the inner corner.
Or like a little sticker.
Yeah, a little sticker. And that makes you happy. Like, ooh, do it.
I love that. And I also think that age, I mean, what was the magazine cover?
It's not real. Age isn't
that Nicole Kidman was just on where she was wearing
that tiny, tiny, low-waisted
mini skirt. Low-waisted mini skirt under her hip bones.
It was that Miu Miu skirt that.
Yes. I saw her and I was like, yes, yes, because she's like 50 and she looked like a supermodel and she's wearing what people back in the day would be like, that's too young. And I'm like, fuck you. No, it's not. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And she looks. She was like having a year where she had just done like 9 Perfect Strangers and all these incredible shows. It's like you can youth is literally your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can be as young or
you're only
feel
as young as your spirit is.
Exactly. Yeah. And like it bothers me when people put people in boxes in that way.
I do love, there's something with the, like one of the only good things about like TikTok and about the internet right now is I think it kind of is, and I hate that things are getting homogenized, but I do like the homogenization a little bit of generations mm-hmm. and fashion and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Because when I was in my late 20s and I was dating my ex-boyfriend who was not great, I was like, oh, I need to start dressing mm-hmm. more conservatively. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to, no more crop tops. Like, I got to start, like...
What would you even wear?
Like, a bodysuit?
I was thinking about this when you were talking about, like, age and fashion choice. You know that I didn't wear my first crop top, I mean, since I was in middle school, until this year.
What?
I didn't wear my first crop top until I was 34 years old.
That's crazy.
Because I spent my entire 20s hating my body. Yeah. And now I'm like, so I'm fucking hot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wear a crop top and I'm going to do a winged liner and I'm going to wear extensions. And I had 2 years of hotness robbed from me from the pandemic. So I'm going above and beyond.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think age is a mindset. I think people, even in general, because of TikTok and like the trends, are starting to kind of, everything's melding together and no one's really noticing age anymore. And I think that's amazing.
No, it's great. And do you guys know who Kelly Wurstler is?
Uh-uh.
She's an interior designer, but
she does incredible.
She's, I think, in her 50s and has the coolest fucking style.
So
always
chic.
Wearing like crop tops, but like, she's wears every head to toe designer.
She wears like a wide
huge hat, huge pants.
I'm gonna need like, a gimmick like a hat in a few years.
Yeah, I'm like this. Some. She is who I want to be, and I'm like this makes me feel good about aging because it's like I think that women need more like women to look up to in age to be like, oh, I can still wear the things that I love.
Hello, listeners, let us be those women for you.
I saw a woman at the gym who had her hair like balayage, but it was gray.
Mm.
And it's like she gets her gray done. You can tell
because
she mixes it with like
fades nicely.
It looked gorgeous. And I almost stopped her because like it's what my mom's going for, but she just grew her hair out and it's like, you can have your gray look beautiful and rich and multifaceted. Like you can have it glossed.
Ooh, multifaceted. That's like one of the box keywords.
That's
for,
right. I can't but I'd never seen it done so well because like you still have to, it takes work.
Yeah.
Even like if you have naturally stunning hair, you still have to get it cut right and done right. Like it takes some attention and that's really it. Like you can age the way you want, like the fine wine you are. Put yourself in a smoky barrel and call it a day.
I love it. Okay. So I think that's all not guilty for us.
Not guilty.
Not guilty. Okay. So my turn. We were in the pool the other day and we vaguely talked about this.
Yes.
And you guys told me to stop and save it for killing time. So I am. I want freckles. I love freckles. I think they're so cute. Whether it's a freckle pen, and I follow this girl on Instagram who's doing permanent makeup. She puts frecks on people. I know how you guys feel about that. You guys told me no. You guys told me to get a freckle pen. Mm-hmm. I haven't, but I love the idea. Like, freckles are so beautiful and youthful and sun-kissed. And
I mean, they are skin damaged.
Afton is making a face, and I'm looking forward to hearing what she says because she has lots of feelings.
I do.
But like from someone like me who knows nothing about this world, I see this in like Instagram, and I'm like, give me some of that.
Right. So freckles are genetics makeup. Like you have freckles, and it's an instant filter.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to worry about the little blemish that you're getting because it's masked by all of your freckles.
Oh my God.
And I've always thought that. And I've always thought that like people are so lucky to have freckles. And I know that all of my clients that have a bunch of freckles and I'm like, oh my God, I love them. Almost always say thanks. I used to get made fun of when I was little. It's almost everything that we embrace and we love, like a bushy brow, a freckle, like a really cute kind of like imperfect nose. They're all the things that we appreciate as we get older that we got made fun of or we hated when we were younger.
Yeah.
Freckles is like number one on the list of my favorite fucking things. I think they're so cool. So when I do makeup on someone with freckles, I'll always do, especially if someone...
How do you do that? Right. How do they show through?
Right. So most of the time I like to have a light hand. I like to use a foundation that has minimal coverage. And so I can pick and choose where I'm putting the coverage with concealer and things like that. But someone that has a ton of freckles and inevitably they start to blur when you put makeup on top, that's when I would use, drum roll, the product that you like, which is the Freck Pen, to go back in on top. And I just kind of dot on and then I spread out the freckles to kind of reinforce the freckle that's been hidden underneath
I want a Freck Pen.
So... I have one.
Ooh.
I have a new one that I just bought. I brought it with me.
Oh my God.
We're going out tonight. So we're going to all do our makeup and stuff. So, and then I did see, obviously, I'm sure you do this, but I saw on TikTok that you put it on your finger and then you dot your finger on your face. You're not doing it directly on your face.
So what I like to do is a mixture of that. So I'll dot it directly on your face so that I get the areas that I want. Then I take my finger and I tap on top of it and then I spread them out.
Will you freck me?
We're going to show up to like this group thing that we're going to do and we're all going to be so freckled.
We're going to speak with an Irish accent.
Yeah, we're all going to get with frecks tonight.
No, I obviously love freckles. Jared might have over 1 million on his body and it's my favorite thing about him. Like,
Matt's
I just think
a lot of freckles too.
Not as much as Jared.
I love a freckle.
No one has as many freckles as Jared.
What you're saying, what you're putting on the stand is a faux freck.
I'm defending a faux freck and a real freck. I think everyone should love their freckles. My little freckle beauty marks have like lost their color over time. Like,
I know.
Because I used to have some good ones.
I used to have freckles all over my, all the good places.
Like, some beauty marks and they've faded too.
Because we've started to like care about our skin and wear SPF.
Yeah.
They've all disappeared.
Any laser that you're going to do is going to get rid of those
freckles.
There
are some good tricks for our listeners who care. So I already told you how I like to do the freckle if you need to reinforce the freckles that you've hidden. But another one of my favorite tricks, if you do have like a beauty mark or a little mole that you like that gets covered with makeup and then it ends up just looking like a pimple, is to take one of those brow markers, like the NYX Lift and Snatch marker, or even the Freck Pen, and kind of rub on top of that with like a little smudger brush, and then lightly just tap on top of your beauty marks to kind of bring it back out on top of the makeup. That's one of my favorite tricks I'll always do with my clients that have beauty marks that I love.
I love that.
Oh,
well, this is what I'm defending. This is what I'm saying is good shit, and I think it makes me so sad that like people hated their freckles growing up, and everyone should just feel sexy and beautiful.
I hate that we
give ourselves our time because we always look back and we're like, I was beautiful. Why was I so mean?
I hope
to
the
myself?
Tides are a turning.
I think the tides are turning a little bit.
Like, I think it makes people feel insecure. I'm not above that.
I think that, to be honest, we lived in the worst generation.
Yeah.
The generation below us, I think, is living a little bit healthier because they have healthier role models to look at.
I hope so.
It's stiff. We were so fucked.
We didn't know. If you were to ask me when I was in, like, 10th grade looking at, like, Vogue covers, like, ooh, is it? I would have thought it was straight off the camera roll.
Yeah, me too.
You know, now it's like we're so aware of like image editing.
I hope so.
Well, and then you look back at like pictures of celebrities that we're like, oh, body goals. Uh-huh. And it is pretty fucking shocking.
Yeah.
Like, it is shocking to look at in like a 2022 lens.
Absolutely.
And the way that the media would talk about women, but we can talk about that another episode.
Anyways,
episodes.
Not guilty. Freckles and beauty marks.
Okay. Well, when we come back, it is time for some true crime rewind.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't. And the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real world, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Yeah. It's rewind time.
All right, welcome to True Crime Rewind. This is a collection of things that I have found when I was looking up killers, true crime, murder,
etc.,
and makeup. It's funny what my Google searches are. I did first Google search murder and makeup, and I came, everything was Bailey Sarian's podcast.
The podcast, I found that too.
And she's amazing, and we love her so much. But I finally dug through all of those Google searches to find some really fucking interesting shit. So first is this woman, Julia Tofana. Have you guys heard about this girl?
Never.
Okay, so she killed hundreds of men in 17th century Italy when she turned her makeup business into a poison factory, selling a deadly concoction called Acqua Tofana, like her last name.
Honestly?
Aquafina is a great name for a makeup brand.
I know. Well, it's funny because when I was researching it, I was like, oh, I want to Google Acqua Tofana and see if there's, it would be so cool if there was like a cool ceramic jar, like an old fashioned jar with, you know how this is poison or something. Somebody should make that. It doesn't
exist. Someone should do the makeup brand. That's really fun.
I know.
Right now, I am coining this as my intellectual property for my future.
Honestly,
Acqua
trademark
Tofana.
Pending. Better trademark it by the time
trademark
this comes
pending.
Out.
TM.
So Acqua Tofana was thought to have been laced with arsenic, lead, and belladonna. I don't know what belladonna is.
I don't know.
A great also, trademark name. Trademark pending.
Belladonna. I'm sure belladonna
patent
exists.
Pending.
I think if you say it three times in a row, you automatically get the trademark.
There's a Bar Donna on Montana in Santa Monica.
We're
in a restaurant.
We're gonna Google belladonna later. So. She made it her mission and her business to help aspiring widows murder their husbands.
Bye.
So this was during the Renaissance. And during that time, like, women were just kind of forced to marry these men. Right. And there was no option for divorce. And a lot of the time, the only option was if
murder.
The man died, right? So
which doesn't come soon enough in those cases, right? In the in the Renaissance, doesn't everyone die?
Yeah, they get like gout. They get gout and they die.
Gout, yeah.
Yeah, so she basically... She basically sold this poison under the guise of makeup to these women. They would come buy it from her, knowing it's like arsenic.
I love it.
And then I don't know if it came in like a compact or a lipstick or whatever.
I picture it to be a lipstick.
And then they would just drop a few drops into their drink and kill their husbands.
Oh.
So honestly,
and, like, they didn't have autopsy technology. So I was like, guess he died of gout.
Listen, I know. I don't want to glorify
another
murder.
Case of syphilis.
Or scurvy.
I don't want to glorify murder, but I like to picture these women as like deserving of being widows.
They were oppressed.
We still are.
Murder anyone.
A lot of these women were in abusive relationships. I mean, probably most women were in abusive relationships back in the day. And it's like, it was the only way for them to escape. So she is fucked up, but then like also sort of an American
hero. Well, she probably like
hero.
Generally.
A Renaissance hero.
A Renaissance. It wasn't American.
She's a lady of the Renaissance. She probably generally was like a little bit of a psychopath, murderer. And she's like, how can I do this in a way that's going to help my fellow gal?
Exactly.
You know,
somebody had to help these women.
Yes.
Yeah. They were helpless. They were fucking stuck.
Yeah. They're wearing corsets. Just can't breathe. Probably having to wear wigs.
Or
is that a different period? I don't know.
Sure. Okay. So for every one of these little examples that I found, I thought of a good question that could be tied into it that we could ask Afton about.
Oh my God.
Makeup.
Yes.
Ooh.
So for this, obviously she was putting poison into quote unquote makeup. So Afton's question is, there's a bunch of toxins and a lot of shit that's within a lot of these makeup brands that we don't want to be putting on our face or our body. So there's a lot of talk of like clean makeup brands. So what would you recommend for clean makeup brands if our ladies and guys want to use something that's a little bit more environmentally friendly or good for their body?
Makeup without poison in it.
Great question, Jacqueline.
Oh, thank you.
So first let's talk about what makes a brand clean. So clean makeup brands are formulations that are free of BHAs and BHTs, coal tar, formaldehyde.
Coal tar.
Like that's what I think villain. That's what they used to use to make like slippy eyeliner.
Formaldehyde is in makeup?
Oh yeah, it used to be all over the place.
Isn't that an embalming chemical?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I usually know how to say this. Hydroquinone.
Nope. I don't know.
It's a lightening agent. It's legal in some ways, but obviously not in makeup. Lead, mineral oil.
Lead. Like lead poisoning, that lead?
Yes, correct. Oxybenzone, parabens, silica. Mm-hmm. Silica is what they use in HD powders to make them really finely milled so that they kind of have that blurring effect for film. But silica is also what causes flashbacks. So if you've ever seen those really famous pictures of Angelina Jolie from the red carpet where she's got the super white kind of powdery look underneath her eyes and in that baking area, that comes from silica. And a lot of people
silica
have...
Silica is also what they put in like... pill bottles that you're not supposed to eat.
Right.
Yes. It absorbs moisture.
Yeah.
So it
takes away the shine.
Yeah.
So it's a really great, it's a great ingredient for makeup, but a lot of people have really crazy sensitivities to it. And then also sulfates and talc. Talc is what you're getting in a lot of powders and the original kind of like pressed powders and makeup
baby
powders.
Powder?
Yes. Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
So those are the things that you want to avoid.
Babies don't have feelings.
Babies are. So that's what you want to.
Babies don't have feelings.
They can't express them. If they can't express it, then it's not real.
But you're still poisoning your baby by using
They literally cry like 24 hours a day.
All they do is express their
feelings.
They're
confused.
I love babies. I don't want to confuse anyone.
Could have fooled me. So anyway, those are the.
Froze my eggs for a reason.
Those are the ingredients that we are
getting.
For a clean beauty, we're looking for products that don't have those ingredients in them. So first and foremost, and you guys know this is my favorite product of all time. It's the Thrive Liquid Lash Extensions mascara.
That's all I use.
It's so fucking good.
It's the best mascara I've ever used.
And the reason that I love this mascara, it's considered a tubing mascara. So it's going to encapsulate each and every one of your little lash hairs
tubes around
and
them.
Make them look longer. And then when you go to take it off, it's so satisfying because it comes off in little strings.
Easy. And people literally email me message me on Instagram and ask me about my mascaras, and I always tell them. And they were a sponsor on our podcast for a long time. And it was like, I was using that before. That is some amazing product.
Thrive is amazing. Yeah. And I really like it, especially if you're going in the water all the time. So for the summer, it's great because it doesn't
melt
bleed,
off.
It doesn't transfer, and it doesn't flake. If it comes off at all, it comes in a little tube, and Jack just looks at me and she goes, you got a little tube? And I go, "Floop," and then it's gone.
Yeah, it doesn't come off unless you touch it.
Correct.
You know, and that's what's so awesome about it. And it's super, like most waterproof mascaras, it's so hard to get off. And you like rip out lashes trying to get your waterproof mascara off. But the shit comes off so easy.
So easily,
it's
but
the
doesn't
best mascara
love it
out there.
So that's my number one favorite. I also really love the Say Beauty Glowy Super Gel. You can use it like a primer. Say is like a newer brand that's really good.
S-A-I-E.
S-A-I-E. Yeah, I struggled with how to pronounce that. But
I didn't know that was how it was pronounced.
Say Beauty.
Oh my God, Alexis. Loves that song.
Honestly, so, I love like sad songs.
I like to use the whole line is
I'm depressed.
Once I was 7 years old.
Not that one.
That's my fave.
So the whole line is going to be clean, but the specific product that I love is the Glowy Super Gel. I use it kind of like after I do a primer or before I do my foundation and put it on the high points of the face to make a nice little highlight. It's really good. Ritual de Fil is another really amazing clean beauty brand. They have the eye soots that you would love, Jack. They're like metallic and color shift eyeshadows that are really cool. And then Jones Road, which is Bobbi Brown's new makeup line, is all clean as well. And a shout out to my favorite clean tinted lip balm. That's the Rel lip balm that you know I love. The color is for sure, and I can't get enough of it. That's what I wear every single day.
I have one product that is a clean beauty product. It's not makeup that I am obsessed with, and it's the Kosas deodorant. Their AHA deodorant is the only deodorant that does not make me smell.
It's insane.
That clears my BO and it's all clean. So
that's great. And the whole Kosas line is clean as well. So if you want to try their concealers that everybody really loves and their foundations people love, that's a great line to go
get
with.
Get it
as well.
Get it at Sephora.
I love that. Can I get sponsorships after this?
Maybe.
Okay. So our next topic, Robert Durst.
Robert Durst.
Robert Durst, I'm sure everybody knows
the
about
jinx, right? The
him.
Jinx.
Yes. And there was a time, I'm not going to explain Robert Durst and what he did. I'm sure you already fucking know. But there was a time that he tried to pass himself as a deaf mute woman named Dorothy Siner in Texas. So he had fled to Galveston in 2000 and began dressing like a woman to avoid attention after prosecutors reopened the investigation into his first wife, Kathy's disappearance in 1982. And then he just started becoming obsessed with looking feminine. And he had met a drag queen named Claire E. Schuler, and she was also a licensed cosmetologist, and she taught him how to
Do his makeup?
Do his makeup.
Oh my God,
she's you.
She's
the you of Galveston.
She's the me of Galveston.
And also a drag queen.
But listen, I'm not as good as a drag queen.
So. No, I mean, drag queens are the
best.
They know what they're doing. They are the fucking best. God. So when they met, Claire obviously didn't know that Robert Durst was Robert Durst, like,
and
running.
Didn't know they were like
from the law.
Yeah. On the lam.
On the lam.
Yeah. So this magazine did an interview with Claire and they said, what struck with me the most was the fact that he was just horrible in drag. He literally smeared blue eyeshadow and red lipstick on and called it a day. He wore a nasty ratty wig. I think he was just trying to be more inconspicuous than noticeable and it didn't work.
I'm thinking about Buffalo Bill from
Silence of the Lambs.
There's like, want to fuck me? He's like doing his makeup in the mirror and dancing, just tucking his dick. And he's like, he looks like the worst wannabe girl in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God.
Just got to watch a few YouTube channels to get good at this.
Or, well, you know, unfortunately, book YouTube a sash. Book a sash with someone that knows how to do. I mean, that's what he did.
Yeah.
That is what he did. So, I mean, he was ahead of his time because you know how many people come to me and they're like, I need help with my makeup. How have I not thought to do this like years ago?
Yeah.
Robert was... He may have been on the lam, but he was ahead of his game.
Yeah. I mean, he was trying pretty much everything at that point. So
that's so sick.
My question to you, Afton, drag queen makeup is obviously pretty full coverage. So for anybody out there that's looking for a full coverage foundation or a face makeup, like what would you recommend that is the best?
Good question.
Thank you.
So first of all, I already said this, but some of the best makeup artists that I know that are like in the industry with me now started as drag queens doing drag makeup. And that's when they found out it was their passion, that they were good at it. And then they kind of decided to segue into commercial and beauty, which is really fucking sick. But some of my favorite full coverage foundation that I newly am obsessed with is the Charlotte Tilbury Airbrush Flawless Foundation. That is really good and nice and full coverage and super long lasting. Mm. If you set that with the Huda Beauty Resting Boss Face Setting Spray, you're going to have full coverage makeup that doesn't budge. I'm talking 70% humidity, 100 degree weather, putting it on at 9 a.m. and going out. You know how, so we have this rule when we go on vacation, you guys know that you get ready once, there's no going home. So you're doing your makeup at 10 a.m. for brunch and it better last you until 1 a.m. because you're not going home because we don't want to lose anyone.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're going for, Charlotte Tilbury Airbrush Flawless Foundation with the Huda Beauty Resting Boss Face Setting Spray.
Boom.
Love it.
Boom, boom. Okay, our next topic is the lipstick killer. Okay, so William George Herons, I think, he was a possible serial killer who confessed under police torture.
Torture?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, wait, the police tortured him?
That's what it says. Confessed under police torture. This was in 1946. So times were a little bit different.
They're probably waterboarding him or something.
Probably.
The long dick of the law.
So he was convicted of three murders in 1946, and he was called the lipstick killer after a notorious message was sprawled in lipstick at a crime scene. So on December 10th, 1945, Frances Brown was discovered with a knife lodged in her neck and a bullet wound to the head in her apartment. Ooh. Nothing was taken, but a message was written on lipstick on the wall. For heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more. I cannot control myself.
Because I love this lipstick.
I have chills.
I mean, and so we'll post a picture of this. I have it in our little doc of the picture of this message on the wall. And it is fucking terrifying.
No.
Like, his handwriting is really chaotic.
You know what makes it chaotic is the like...
The M's?
No. It's the random use. Like, he goes between using capital letters and lowercase letters so flippantly. Yeah.
Like what they used to do on AIM and AOL look at, profile. If you
look my at Blondie the, Baby 33
yes, yeah. It's literally like...
Mine was Levin Slim Shady 4E. That was like my
Because
I loved Eminem.
It's
all
like,
uppercase, lowercase.
I don't think I ever knew that back
Why
yet.
Would I tell anyone that? Unless
it's like
I've
what
had
we do
drinks.
Now to indicate sarcasm when you're like, oh, special.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you put
yeah.
it like in uppercase and lowercase.
Like
he
snowflake.
Does say capital S A lowercase K lowercase E.
Yeah, and like his M's have four little humps on him.
Cute little L's though, I will say.
The L's are cute. They're in cursive. Anyways, we'll post this picture so you know what we're talking about. But I've never heard of the lipstick killer before, but of course I'm gonna ask the question to Afton about this, you know, smudge-proof lipstick. If you want that message to last on the wall, like what is a good smudge-proof lipstick? to use on the lip.
So I think if we were talking about to use on the wall, you want like a classic lipstick because that's not going to run out of
Sharpie
juice.
On the wall.
Well, we're talking about lipstick, Alexis.
Sorry.
Oh yeah. My God, you guys. Can I tell you about my first kiss?
Okay.
Sure.
Because it has to do with this.
Okay.
My first kiss, I was 16 years old on this school trip called SWAT. Summer
Winter
Action Sports.
I wasn't allowed to go on SWAT.
We didn't have that in New York.
I, a snowboarder, wasn't allowed to go on SWAT because my parents understood, knowingly, because you're about to tell your first kiss story, how bad SWAT was.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was drinking and doing, well,
they would have breathing
pop. Oh, my God.
We'll take that out.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
You can leave it in. Mom, you breathalyzed me.
She didn't deserve it.
I didn't deserve it.
No, everybody was, we're in high school. It was they'd take you up to like Big Bear or Salt Lake City or something.
Yeah, it was
to
like snowboarding.
But everybody was just going. It was like the first time that you could party really as a kid without unsupervised. I was in Salt Lake City. I was 16 years old. This guy across the hallway from me, not a part of SWAT. So we just like met in the hallway and he came into my room because he was like trying to run away from his girlfriend. And we were kind of like hid out in my room.
His girlfriend was in his room?
His girlfriend was with him. I don't know. They had a fight. He came into my room. He was hiding out. And then we had a smooch while we were both sitting on the ground. It was just like a kiss, right? Like not like maybe it was make out. I don't remember. But anyways, back in the day.
First kiss. Goals.
I think we had cell phones, but like if they were probably the Nokia brick ones.
Yeah, they were the Nokia like 8900.
Yeah, you could play Snake and then you could do the little light up.
That's all you could do.
But anyways, I don't think we're exchanging numbers like the way that we do now. And he goes to run away back into his room and he writes his number on my mirror in bright red lipstick.
The romance.
It was romantic.
If this wasn't SWAT and I like couldn't smell the pot smoke like coming underneath your door, it would be super romantic. I pictured him actually coming over, writing on your wall, like, do you want to kiss YN circle one in lipstick on the wall?
But, yeah. It was pretty much I'll that. And then number. I never talked to him again. But that I will forever remember that lipstick on the mirror.
God,
and I was
it?
Like, somebody likes me.
It's so funny how those things when we were young are like so nostalgic and romantic. Like I remember making out on like a lifeguard tower. And to this day, I'm like, that was the most romantic night of my life.
And it was probably like disgusting.
That was horrible.
I have few fond memories from my childhood, but I'll try to come up with something for the next episode.
Anyway, so if you're going to write on a wall or on a mirror, I suggest using a lipstick.
Classic lipstick. Classic red.
Yeah, if you use like a lip gloss, you're going to run out and you're going to have to re-dip. It's going to take too much time. But so a good long wear lipstick is the Pat McGrath Matte Trance that I love. That's going to be
I love Pat McGrath.
Non-transferring. The only thing that's a little hard with a long wear lipstick is it can be a little bit drying.
Sure.
So to combat that problem, I love the NYX Shine Loud long wear lipstick. It's dual ended. So on one side you have a matte liquid lipstick and then on the other side you have a gloss. So you put on the matte liquid lipstick, you wait a second, you put on the gloss and then it's transfer proof and it stays really long. Now there's a brand new product that I'm so excited to try that I haven't yet. It just came out this week and that's the House Labs. That's Lady Gaga's brand. Mm. She just made a high shine liquid lipstick that looks like a lip gloss that I watched her makeup artist do like a transfer session with and it didn't come off and it didn't budge. I think the only risk with that might be staining, but I know you love a stain.
Jack. I love a stain.
So. I love a stain. I can't do a lipstick.
Me neither.
Too messy. Too messy of a gal for that.
If you can't do a lipstick and you need like foolproof, something that's good for beginners, the Anastasia Beverly Hills liquid lipstick is really good for that.
I love that.
Hell yeah. I have learned so much. This is might be my favorite episode of all time.
Honestly, it's pretty fun.
All right. Can you sign that and frame it?
Yeah, obviously.
Yes, yeah, so I'll print the audio version off for your wall. Okay, well, these people did some really bad things, but then they got combated with Afton's great recommendations. But now we're going to hear all the worst things that you people have ever done.
You people.
You people.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hello, people who are the worst people ever. But you're really the best, because if you're calling in, you feel bad about whatever it is you did, or you just want attention. Whatever it is, it's fine with us, because we need the content and
we're desperate.
We're just here to make you feel better about it, because you know what? I've done some things in my life that under certain circumstances I wouldn't do again. And yeah. I think we can all relate to that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all under the power of several variables and we just want to be forgiven. That's why you called here today. So let's just get started, shall we? And might I say, I picked these specifically because I thought these would be great stories for us to talk to with our bestie Afton, because it's sort of like something you talked like with gal pals about.
I know. Oh, I like a surprise.
So
element.
Let's get into this.
Okay. Hello. So I'm calling in to tell you all about the worst thing that I've ever done. I'm not totally sure it's the worst thing, but it's pretty up there. But I think in some way it was well-deserved as well. So I had been dating a guy, someone I met at work, and I work in the medical field. And guess what? He was a surgeon. And he did some pretty heinous, horrible things to me while we were dating, and said, basically told me I was not pretty enough to be married to a plastic surgeon. And
first of all, fuck that guy.
What a dick.
What a fucking ass.
You are beautiful, and anyone is lucky to be with you.
You're a perfect snowflake.
Okay.
Fuck you.
That, among other things. So I finally gave him the boot, but my brothers found out about all of this and started brainstorming ideas with me on how to get him back, because he was just so completely terrible to me on multiple levels. And so, granted, I can't claim all of this, but I found out his new address because he had moved to a new city and for a new job. So I found out his new home address. I gave that to my brothers. My brothers came up with this idea of creating fake Amazon orders for incredibly embarrassing sex toys. So it wasn't just a few. It was like we came up with, I think, around 80 to 100 fake forms that were sent to him and all of his surrounding neighbors with his name on it, so that it accidentally got in their mailboxes. So we had their addresses, but his name on it, so that everyone around him would think that he's a total freak. But these forms, you know, said the names of the supposed sex toys on them and said they were unable to fulfill the order, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, okay, so I got cut off, so I called back. So anyway, we know that this happened, and it did affect him, because he tried sliding into my DMs not even 2 weeks later. I don't know if he ever knew that I was the source of this, or, you know, that my family was. But, you know, he said he was having problems with someone doing something to his mail. as he put it. So, but he never knew that it was me and continued to try to slide into my DMs for probably even up to a year and a half after that, which I never gave him the time of day anyway. But it was pretty satisfying just knowing that he had that going on and that it probably embarrassed the hell out of him. So, again, I don't know if that was the worst thing I've ever done, but it's pretty up there.
Okay, so I resonate with this deeply because of growing up with two older brothers who would protective. Literally burn the world to the ground for me.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I would do is go to my brothers. The second thing I was going to say, no sex toy is embarrassing, but when you have the minesweeper technique of contacting everyone that's close to you with an embarrassing sex toy, it does get a little bit embarrassing.
I mean, I feel like this is the epitome of a victimless crime. It's we always so talk about this every episode when we get a worsie. It's like these are the things that Alexis and I really love for. And resonate with. Like this is perfect.
He deserves it. It's even more victimless than like a ding dong ditch.
Yeah.
Like it's so good.
But also someone as superficial as he was to say that like you're not good enough to be married to a plastic surgeon. Fuck him, by the way. That was a manipulative, hurtful, untrue.
It was negging.
Well, just it's untrue. Yeah. He dated you, so you're good enough for him.
Right.
Right.
He thought you were good enough. So
and you're too good for him, because like what kind of a person actually fucking says that to somebody?
That's what I was gonna say. Exactly. The only reason that people say that to people is to bring them down a notch because they're like already insecure. Too good. So they're like, ooh, I need to bring her down a notch so she can feel like shit.
But what's so good about this is because he's the kind of person, the exact kind of person who would care what his neighbors think.
Right.
Yes.
Because he's a plastic surgeon.
Well, yes, he's
the plastic surgeon.
And sexual deviant. So this is like an amazing crime, quote unquote crime, because it's not.
Yeah.
And you know it plays on his disgusting, superficial insecurities.
Yeah.
I love it. It reminds me of my favorite show, The Real Housewives of New Jersey, with Caroline Manzo, who says, the thing about my family is we're thick as thieves. Like, you don't want to fuck with one person who has brothers. Let me tell you that.
No, her brothers are very creative. I love what they had come up with.
Oh, yes.
Honestly, brilliant. If you're listening out there and you need to get back at somebody, like, take a note.
And honestly, if you don't have a brother, be your own brother.
Be your own fucking brother.
I'm my own brother.
Brother. Your own malicious compliance.
All right. Well, I think that our episode is so fucking long that we just needed one of these.
It's just great. And you know what? It's time for our favorite time. And it happens to be...
Oh my God. Do I get to hear Costanza stands in the flesh?
I chose a clip.
Okay. Laziness.
Honestly, it relates. It relates to this.
It relates because you know who's lazy? George Costanza.
Everyone listen.
Okay.
I knew it. I always knew you had beautiful hands. I used to tell people, Frank, didn't I used to talk about his hands?
Who the hell did you ever mention his hands to?
I mentioned his hands to plenty of people.
You never mentioned it to me.
Hand me an emery board.
I always talk about your hands, how they're so soft and milky white.
No, you never said milky white.
I said milky white.
Scissor. Don't hand them to me with the point facing out.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
I'll try to be more careful.
I hope so.
Georgie. Oh. Georgie, would you like some Jell-O?
Why'd you put the bananas in there?
George likes the bananas.
So let him have bananas on the side.
All right, please. Please, I cannot have this constant bickering. Stress is very damaging to the epidermis. Now, I have an important photo session in the morning. My hands have got to be in tip-top shape. So please, keep the television down and the conversation to a minimum.
But, Georgie, what about the Jell-O?
I'll take it to my room.
So George was forced to embrace his true beauty, as we all should be, and we should all find ourselves beautiful, and Jason Alexander is too.
Yes. Yeah. Great actor.
In that McDonald's commercial from a few weeks back, honestly, I mean, just pure genius.
No, he played a character, I think it was on Criminal Minds once. He was a serial killer, and he ended up having, like, multiple appearances. He's so good, and he plays, like, a creep so well.
Yeah, yeah.
He is something else.
Well,
wow, what an
episode. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
We love you.
Bye.
I love
you. You'll see Afton again. I gotta bring her back.
She'll be back.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.